Okay, Al-Jabbar means the like Superman, Ar-Rajul Al-Jabbar. Now let me get you here. Okay. And get you here. Okay. So we're recording now. No, I said here. Oh. Okay, Superman is Ar-Rajul Al-Jabbar. Why do we call him Ar-Rajul Al-Jabbar? Jabbar, when you add Jabbar to a man, you get Superman. So, what is it that in Superman that qualifies him for the name Ar-Rajul Al-Jabbar, Jabbar man? Huh? He has super abilities. He like he can fly,
break the walls.
He's too
yes.
Old. Shoot laser from his eyes.
Yes, all these nice stuff he can do. Yeah, he can do all by himself.
Yeah.
All right. So, the Jabbar in Arabic. There are two forms to make the verb in Arabic. One of them is for doing it so many times. Doing it so many times. So, for example, if you are eating, so I say, anta ta'kul, or anta ta'kul, or ana a'kul. Okay, or ana akul. But if it is done so many times, I say ana akul. Ana akul. So, same thing here. Al-Jabbar is a form when the verb is done so many times, which is the verb jab is done so many times. Now, Al-Jabbar means also, in the name of Allah, Al-Jabbar means the mighty one. No one can be more mighty than him. Nobody can escape his might. Nobody can escape his knowledge. Nobody can escape his will. Okay? So his will is going to prevail. His might is going to prevail. And nobody can escape his knowledge. What do I mean by nobody can escape his knowledge?
Nobody can do anything without knowing.
Nobody can hide anything from him. So nobody can escape his knowledge. Because his knowledge is Jabbar. Okay? Jabbar means nobody can escape it. Okay? Now, do we know everything about Allah?
No.
Is it possible?
No.
No. Not even when you go to Jannah. You wouldn't know everything about Jabbar.
Why?
About Allah, Al-Jabbar. You're limited. We are limited. Allah is unlimited. So there's no way with our limited knowledge, there's no way with our limited knowledge or limited abilities to know the unlimited. Unlimited means infinity, right? We're not infinity. We are limited. We are what? Limited. So, can the limited know the infinity?
No.
No, the limited can't know the infinity. So, what do we know about Allah? We know about Him 99 names. Okay? And these 99 names are enough for us. Are enough. It's enough for us to know these 99 names. Al-Jabbar also means no one can reach him. No one can reach him. No one can exceed him. No one can reach him. No one can exceed him. He has lots of might and strength that nobody can reach him. Okay? Can you reach Allah? No. Also, Al-Jabbar means He is the one that heals the broken stuff. He's the one that heals the broken. Broken hearts. He's the one who heals the broken hearts. He's the one who heals something that is broken. It's called Al-Jabbar also. So Al-Jabbar also means the compeller. He is the one that compels everybody to follow to follow his will. He's the one who compels everybody to follow his will. So your will cannot prevail over his will because he's the compeller. He can compel you. And he will compel you. He is compelling us. Now, don't take it wrong and say compeller means that he's controlling our decisions. No, he's not controlling our decisions. He knows them, but he's not controlling them. He knows them, but he's not controlling them. Okay. Let me tell you a story to show how Allah is the compeller. You know, Allah, the Pharaoh used to say what about himself? I am the highest God. I am your highest God. So he will stand and sit over this big chair, says, I am your highest God. Everybody's under my feet. I am your highest God. There were idols, but he was saying, I'm the boss of these idols. I am the highest God. Nobody's higher than me. And Allah, whenever somebody claims to himself one of the attributes of greatness, one of the attributes of greatness of Allah, okay? When anybody claims to himself one of the greatnesses of Allah, attributes of greatness of Allah, when somebody does that, Allah likes to destroy him in a very unique manner. Like this bad king that debated with Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was the bad king. He says, I am God. How did Allah kill him? Huh? How did Allah kill that Namrud? The one who said to Ibrahim, I give life and death. Huh?
He made a mosquito enter his ear and what else?
It went inside.
It was really painful and he had to live like that for the rest of his life.
Wait, what?
And then, like, one day he died.
Yes, actually, before he dies, the mosquito was always buzzing in his brain and stinging his brain. So he was like, ah! And he wouldn't feel good, or like the pain would not go unless they bring like a shoes or something and hit him on the head. Then when they hit him on the head, the mosquito stops buzzing and biting. And then when this hitting ends, then the mosquito starts again. So he was living miserable until he died. He died quickly after. So this miserable man, he's claiming himself to be God, Allah killed him in such a miserable way to show him, to show others what kind of God he was. He was nothing. Now, this person, this Pharaoh, Allah claimed to himself that he is the highest God. He's the highest God. So now Allah, again, wants to destroy him in a unique manner. So the first thing Allah did, Allah showed him a dream. And this dream would be with saying, this dream told the Pharaoh that this is the way you'll be destroyed, the Pharaoh. This is the way I'm going to destroy you. How? He saw a dream that a man from the children of Israel will grow up to destroy his kingdom. Will grow up to destroy him. So see, Allah, this is how Allah challenges. It's like Allah did not surprise him. Okay? No, Allah told him exactly how is he going to die. And if he was really the highest God, stop it. Are you the highest God, Pharaoh? Yes, I am the highest God. Then stop it. So I tell you, this is the way you're going to be destroyed. 1, 2, 3, 4. This is the way you're going to be destroyed. And if you're really a high God, like you're saying, stop it. Stop it. Stop the way that I'm. Stop it. Okay? It's different. If I take you by surprise, it's different. then when I tell you exactly what I'm going to do, logically speaking, if you know how am I going to get to you, then what do you want to do? Stop it. Like if you say, okay, I'm going to kill you, you're going to be killed in this aeroplane that will have an aeroplane accident and you would be killed. Logically speaking, would you ride this aeroplane?
No.
No? You ride the next one, right? Yeah. If I tell you that there will be a car accident in your car, 5 o'clock, then you make sure that at 5 o'clock you're not riding your car, right? But here is the amazing power of Allah. Allah told him, you will be killed in this way. Now, show me you're going to get out of it. That's miserable. You know how miserable it is? How miserable it is? This is the way I'm going to destroy you. Show me how you're going to get out of it. That is really, really a big, you know, like big humiliation to the Pharaoh. It's not like he's not surprised. It's like, this is the way I'm going to destroy you. Show me how you're going to stop it. Show me, Mr. Pharaoh, Mr. Highest God. Show me. Allah wants to make him to show that he's so miserable. So that's a big challenge, right? Because it's if you know the way, you should be able to stop it. But he was so arrogant that he continued to be a bad guy and continued to be to walk the way Allah told him he's going to be destroyed that way. So now what happens when he heard that? What happened? He started doing what to the children of Israel?
He started killing them every other
year. Yes, killing them every year first. Ya rahamakum Allah. Say alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Ya rahamakum Allah. Then what do you say? Yahdina wa yahdikum Allah. Say it. Yahdina wa yahdikum Allah. Okay? You know about that? Shh. So, show me Mr. Pharaoh. Show me Mr. Highest God. How are you going to stop it? So now, he knew in the dream that a man from the children of Israel is going to grow up and destroy his kingdom. So what did he do to the children of Israel? He would kill the baby boys and leave the baby girls. So baby girls, they live. Baby boys, because the dream told him that he's going to come out of the children of Israel a man. Yes, a man. He didn't know his name is Musa. A man. So he wanted to stop that man from coming to life. So his way was slaughtering the baby boys of the children of Israel, slaughtering the baby boys and leaving the baby girls alive. Leave them alive. So now, what happened is that, you know, the children of Israel was labor. You know, they were providing the labor. They used them to build and to do things, to labor. They used them in labor. Okay? So now, because they have been used in labor and building things, and he's killing the baby boys, few years they got a reduction in the number of workers. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like if he's killing the baby boys, so the Egyptians told him, you're killing all baby boys, we don't have any more labor. We don't have any labor because they make them, they place them into, they have to work in a work camp. It's okay? In a slavery camp, they have to work. So they were saying, we ran out of labor. We ran out of slaves. You keep killing the boys, we need those boys to work. So now the Pharaoh has to, okay, he cannot anymore kill all baby boys.
And then so, Musa was born when he was not killing them.
No.
Musa was born when he was killing
them. No, look, here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. He said, I'm going to kill the boys 1 year and? Huh?
The next year,
exactly, spare them. Okay. Would Allah take advantage of this opportunity to bring Musa? No. Allah, see, humiliation. to humiliate the Pharaoh, the most kind of humiliation, Allah made Musa come in the year where he kills boys.
Why?
Just to show, Allah wants to show how miserable he is. To humiliate him. Why this is why Allah showed him the way he would be destroyed in a dream. It's to humiliate him. Humiliation. Stop it. If you're really a God, stop it. Okay. So now Allah will not take advantage of the year he... Allah brought Musa in the year he was killing all baby boys. But what happened is that Allah made the mother of Prophet Musa... No, not yet. When you look at her, you don't know she's pregnant.
Why?
Huh? This is from Allah. That the baby was so small that Allah made it him so small that...
She looks flat.
Yes. Or she looks normal. She looks normal. And he was born very small, by the way. He's born very small. But you think that he would grow up to be weak?
No.
He grew up to be very, very, very strong. To the level that when he kicked with his arm somebody like this, the guy died. Yeah. The guy died just like this. Imagine that I do like this to you and you die. He was so strong. He carried a rock that 10 people, that needs 10 people to carry. He carried the rock all by himself. Like this. He was very strong. So even though he was a very tiny little baby, but Allah made him grow to be very tough, strong guy.
So they did that so they can... Pharaoh won't think there's a baby coming
right.
From her, so they cannot kill the baby. They won't know where she actually had birth.
Exactly. That's right. That's exactly right. So now, Allah, you know who was the one that was born in the year where the Pharaoh bears baby boys? Harun, his brother. Harun, the brother of Prophet Musa, he was born in one of those years. But, huh?
He didn't die, right?
No. He was born in those years where the Pharaoh spares the baby boys. Spares the baby boys. So now, he is born in that year. But Musa was born into the year where the Pharaoh slaughters. This is the biggest humiliation to the Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Okay? So now...
He's been looking...
Hold on. That's even worse. When it is time for Prophet Musa, for his mother to deliver the baby, she left out of the town. She left out of town somewhere. And she delivered Musa all by herself. You know? It was an easy delivery. She was an easy delivery. Probably because he was so small. So his delivery was easy. Probably that's the reason. I'm not sure why. But Allah made it very easy. Now she delivered the baby. Now where to take the baby? How to hide the baby?
In the water.
If she takes the baby home, then what will happen?
Slaughter.
Yes, the spies
will catch him.
The spies will tell the Pharaoh soldiers that this woman had a baby boy. And then the baby boys would be slaughtered. The baby boy would be slaughtered. So now, look how Allah wants to humiliate the Pharaoh the most. He wanted the Pharaoh to grow up where? In the house. I'm sorry, he wanted Musa to grow up where?
In the house of the Pharaoh.
In the house of the Pharaoh. See the challenge?
And then
the challenge, it's not going to grow away far away from you. No, it's going to grow up in your home.
Oh.
What kind of humiliation is that?
Big one.
It's like, you're miserable.
Yeah.
You are miserable. He's going to grow up in your home. And you know that he is the one who's going to destroy you. Okay?
That's why when he came inside.
So, basically, when he came, his wife... the mother of Musa felt very scared. So Allah told her to do what?
Throw him in the water with a bat.
Exactly. See, Al-Jabbar, Allah is Al-Jabbar. Compeller. He got the Pharaoh in the most humiliating way, Al-Jabbar. Yeah. So Al-Jabbar told the mother of Musa, are you scared? So are you scared about him? She's of course said yes, revealed to her. Are you scared? She said yes.
So revelations.
So are you scared? Yes, I am scared, of course. Then Allah said, give him a breastfeed him. Give him a good meal. Good breastfeeding meal. And then bring a box and put him in the box and throw him in the river. Now that was very, look at Al-Jabbar. Al-Jabbar. If Al-Jabbar will tell you, if I tell you, take this baby boy, put him in a box, throw him in the river. If you're afraid, if you're worried about him, then you would say, I'm nuts. Right? If I tell you that, if you're scared about this baby boy, okay? You want to protect him? You want to protect him? Yes or no? Yes. Then put him in a box, throw him in the water. Isn't that, subhanAllah?
Doesn't that make her more scared?
That's exactly what she's supposed to feel. However, Allah calmed her down.
How?
Huh? His powers. He's Al-Jabbar. He made her feel good. But it's amazing. Al-Jabbar, throw him in the river. And then the box, Allah navigated the box didn't drown or anything.
Yeah.
It arrived where?
Right where the Pharaoh's wife.
Exactly. The Pharaoh has a balcony sort of going into water. Going into River Nile. All like you step down.
Balcony,
you go down, yes. Water. Then suddenly there is a box.
Whoa.
The wife of the Pharaoh didn't have children.
Do you know how big the Nile River is? How can it float?
Al-Jabbar. How could it float? Al-Jabbar. Who directed the box to reach to the balcony or like of the Pharaoh? Al-Jabbar.
Okay, so water resistance plus buoyancy. Technically, the box would float with or without the cargo depending on its weight. So yes, it should sink if it was carrying something such as the baby. But however, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Jabbar, he made it so that Prophet Muhammad weighed less than the mountain and therefore was able to safely walk on the wall, still following the laws of nature.
You said one word at that.
No, she said that there's a buoyancy, something floats.
That float is because of something called buoyancy and water resistance. Water pushes things up in a current, and then buoyancy is when gravity puts it down and it remains level.
But doesn't the Nile float differently? Like I heard
no, that's a water
moves,
thing.
But that's how things float in water.
Yes. So basically, because he was a small baby,
he weighed less than that.
He weighed less, and putting him in a box was.
Gonna let go.
See Allah will Al-Jabbar. He made him small.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Easy to deliver.
Easy to not be caught.
Easy to put in a box, and Allah navigated Al-Jabbar. Navigated the box to the balcony of the Pharaoh. So now, the wife of the Pharaoh, she didn't have children. And she couldn't have children.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And she couldn't. And she couldn't. So what did she do? As soon as she said she saw the baby, extreme love, Seer Jabbar. He made her to love him extremely, extremely.
So that the Pharaoh can
know the house. So the Pharaoh, so now the Pharaoh knows about this. And I bet you the Pharaoh knew that this is the boy.
He knew?
Yeah. I mean, the dream is clear. He knew this is the boy. But probably his arrogance. He said, I'll be scared from this little creature. Mouse-sized creature. Am I going to be scared of him? I am the Pharaoh. So probably what got him into this is his arrogance. He said, no way. I'm not going to be scared from this little guy. And I am the highest God.
So
his own arrogance also destroyed him. Because now, even though when he was, when Musa grew up, oh, before that, when the mother of Musa put him in a box, before that, Allah gave her a promise. Allah said, I am going to save him and make him come back to you. I'm going to save him and make him come back to you. Okay? Okay? And you, he's going to grow up in your lap. He's going to grow up. You're going to be his mother. You're going to take care of him. And what happened is that when he arrived to, when Musa arrived to the house of the Pharaoh, he started crying. He wants food.
He wants breastfeed.
Exactly. He wants food, 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 food. Then Al-Jabbar, they bring him a lot of women that are breastfeeding their kids. And he wouldn't take milk from them, from their breast. Al-Jabbar made him, Al-Jabbar made him refuse to take milk from any woman. They tried to breastfeed, and he would push the breast away. He doesn't want to drink. So now, she, the wife of the Pharaoh, she brought so many girls, so many women to try, and no one of them is able to feed him. He doesn't want it. So the sister of Prophet Musa, she was walking on the bank, on the river bank, following the box. Okay, so she was following the box when it arrived. And then she heard about the problem, because it was just like, it's like an emergency. Get me somebody who can feed this baby before he dies out of hunger. So she said, I know a woman that is good enough to feed him. I know a woman that can feed him. So they say, okay, bring her. So, and she brings her mom. So now as soon as he sees her mom and she offers him her breast to drink, he started drinking, pumping water and drinking, pumping milk and drinking. So everybody was happy. So the wife of the Pharaoh said, okay, can you be his nurse? I'll pay you for being his nurse. So now, you see, Al-Jabbar made him go back to his mom. He's growing up in her lap. Okay? She's feeding him. She's taking care of him. She's hugging him. She, every night, it's her baby, and she's being paid for that, and she's living in a very fancy palace, the house of the Pharaoh. Could it get better than that? What better could it get? Why? Because he is what? He is Al-Jabbar. Because he is Al-Jabbar. He is the compeller. He compels things to go the way he wants them to go. Compeller. So now, when baby Musa was like 5-4 years old, something like this, he knew what to do. He knew that he's a prophet and the Pharaoh is a bad guy. So what he did, if this is the Pharaoh, he took the Pharaoh from his beard like this when they were offering him to make the Pharaoh see him. So he took the beard of the Pharaoh like this, and guess what did he do? He slapped him. He slapped him.
Who slapped?
Musa slapped the Pharaoh.
When he tried to.
When he was 4 and 5. No, he slapped the Pharaoh because he knew that the Pharaoh is a bad guy in his heart.
When he was 3.
So the Pharaoh said, "Bas, that's it. He's my enemy. He is the one. He is my enemy. Slaughter him."
Oh.
Now, who? His wife said,
no
way, no, my baby, no, you're not slaughtering him. So now they started arguing together. So the people around the Pharaoh suggested.
Well, what happened to his mom?
His mom is safe and fine. Somewhere she's in the house of the Pharaoh. But now what happens is that the people around the Pharaoh wanted to get rid to get this thing because of the argument between the Pharaoh and his wife. So now, his wife, you know, basically, she was the arrogance of the Pharaoh. She said, like, are you afraid of this little tiny creature? Why do you want to kill him? Okay? So now, the people around the Pharaoh told the Pharaoh, we test him. If he knows what he's doing, then we kill him. But if he doesn't know what he's doing, then we spare him. He's just a baby who doesn't know anything. But Musa, what, knew that he's the bad guy.
I think they had, like, if they eat the charcoal or coffee.
Yes. They have ignited the charcoal and they have dates. They offer both to Musa.
Yeah, he eats the charcoal.
Hold on. Musa wants to eat the dates because Musa understands. He knows what he's doing. He's not like a baby who doesn't know what he's doing. So they offered him both. So Musa wanted to pick up the dates. But the compeller, Allah, made Musa compeller. He made Musa pick the what?
How old was
ignited
he?
The charcoal. It was like 4 or 5, something like that. Ignited the charcoal. So what did it do to his tongue?
Burned
his tongue. So forever, he wouldn't be speaking well. So he would be speaking like that. The Pharaoh says him from something, and we want to kill the Pharaoh's ancestors. Okay? Hey, this is why the Pharaoh, when he went back to the Pharaoh and he said, I'm a prophet of God, the Pharaoh made fun of him and said, you don't even know how to talk. You even don't know how to talk.
You don't know how to talk.
But see the compeller? The compeller, he compelled Musa to pick up the dates, to pick up the charcoal, ignited the charcoal. And we have 10 minutes left, so drop back here. Okay? So he compelled Musa. Now Musa grew up to be a very strong young man where? In the house of the Pharaoh. Yo, Mr. Pharaoh, I told you, how are you going to be destroyed? And now you're not able to stop it. So now once once Musa was walking, and there was one of the children of Israel was being beaten up by Egyptian guy. So that children of Israel say, Musa, Musa, help me, help me. This guy, Egyptian, is beating me up. So Musa said, get out of this guy. He said, no. So he kicked him like this with his arm, with his elbow. What? And Musa what?
Killed him.
I'm sorry, and the guy what? Died right away. So he saved and he told him, okay, don't be troublemaker and don't get in trouble again. Just go. So now the people started in the morning. In the morning, people started looking. This guy is killed. Who killed him? So they started looking. They didn't know who killed him. Until Musa was passing by, walking around, and he saw the same guy fighting with an Egyptian again. So he went to the bad guy, the guy from the children of Israel, and told him, you're a troublemaker. So the guy was scared that he's going to kill him, because he said, you are a troublemaker, and he wants like to hit him or something like that. So the guy got scared and he said, are you going to kill me like the man whom you killed before? So now who got the message? No, the Egyptian guy. And he went straight to the Pharaoh and told him, I know who killed the Egyptian guy. Yes, like in the past. He said, who? He said, Musa. So now you can imagine that the Pharaoh is going to kill Musa. But Al-Jabbar doesn't want Musa to be killed. So Al-Jabbar as well, Al-Jabbar, he made Musa, Al-Jabbar made Musa know that the Pharaoh is going to come, the soldiers of the Pharaoh are coming to kill him, by sending him a guy, send him a good guy from inside the house of the Pharaoh who loved him. He loved him and he believed into him. And he was a good guy. So he went and he said, Musa, Musa, well, hey, Musa, Musa, what? He said, the Pharaoh is going to kill you. So run away. So he ran away. So the compeller made him run away. So now you think he's lost in the desert. No, he was walking in the desert. And he arrived at the place called Madian. Okay. And there was these girls. They were waiting with their sheep little bit far away, okay, until the shepherd men, until they finish giving water to their animals or to their sheaves, okay? And when they are done, the two girls go back and give them the leftover, give their sheep the leftover. So they wouldn't mix with the shepherds. They wouldn't mix with them because they were shy. They were good girls, so they didn't want to mix among them. So they will wait until they are done, and then they will bring them water. They will take the leftover. Why the leftover? Because by the time they are done, they take a rock and put it on the well. Why do they cover the well with a rock? So the well doesn't get buried under sandstorm or something like that. They don't want the well to be buried or by sand. Okay, so they put the rock to protect the well. This rock is a humongous rock. So now when Musa saw them, he said, "What a disaster brought you here. What are you doing here among those guys?" They said, our father, we are the only two daughters for our father. He has no more children. And we have to serve water to our sheep. So he said, "Oh, I'm going to bring you water." So now he picks up the rock and then
throws it
to the side, brings a lot of water to them, and they made their sheep drink.
Oh, so the rock was over the well.
Over the well, yes.
They couldn't drink, so then they tried 10 people, didn't work. Then Musa came.
No. Okay, the shepherds will come, and they will all work together to remove the stone.
Yeah.
And then after removing the stone, they bring water to their sheep. And then after they bring water to their sheep, they cover the well again with the rock so that the sand doesn't bury the well.
Oh.
And they leave. So whatever is left over, the girls come and take it and water the sheep, serving the sheep with water, with whatever is left over. And the leftover was so little. So Prophet Musa now took the rock, brought up more water and served it them.
Oh, there was more water down?
Yeah, the water is down with the bucket to drink it.
Okay, yeah. See?
Look here.
Okay. So this is the well covered by the rock, right? And when they removed it to the men to feed their own sheep, some water spills, right? Because the animals, they spill the water, so it ends up spilling to the side, while inside there's a lot more water. So the sheep of the girls only get a little bit of water, but Musa moved the stone so that we could get all the water inside the well.
That they want, all the water they need. See the power and the might? All the water they need. Stop. Pay attention. So who made it this way? Al-Jabbar. Who made him meet those girls? Al-Jabbar. So now those girls go back to their father and they tell him the story. Father, what happened? Oh, this and that happened. So the prophet, Shu'aib, which was their father, told them, invite him here at our house. Invite him. So they invited him, and you know the rest of the story. When he was going back to Egypt, Allah talked to him and Allah told him that you are a prophet.
That's it?
You know, no, what I meant is that he destroyed the Pharaoh the same way he saw in the dream. This is biggest dream. This is the Jabbar.
Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salaam wa rahmatullah.